Pocket of World. Today's daf in Masechet Shavuot is daf Gimel. Gavi, not fair, two against one here. Okay, Rabbozai. We are right at the bottom, at the beginning of the Mara, on daf Beit Amud Beit. And let me just remind you. So what our Mishnah did, and we're going to discuss today in the Gemara, the structure of the Mishnah, this was a Mishnah that incorporates all of the various Mishnayos that are actually, of course, when you learn them in the Mishnah, each one of them is a separate Mishnah. But we put them all together here because the Gemara sees this as a single perspective of the transition between Shavuos and Makkos. So yesterday we learned in this Mishnah that four things that relate to each other. And they relate to each other in a very strange way because it doesn't seem to be profound. They happen to be four things in the entire Shas which are structured in such a way that the two things that are mentioned clearly in the Torah actually refer to four different situations, or perhaps more. And that was the Shavuos, which is very convenient because that, of course, is what we need to discuss now for some reason, and the simple reason would be because of the fact that the next thing in line after we deal with Sanhedrin, and after we deal, which Sanhedrin deals with essentially the judicial procedures and the Mises Besdin, we then go down to a very important special part of judicial procedure, which was Eidos, that we had in Makkos, so we had the Inyanim of Eidos, and then we had the Eloheinu HaGolin and the Elohim Halokin, which were the last things that were left out in terms of the Onashim. So that made a lot of sense. The next thing, the one thing that seems to be missing from the full discussion about the understanding of Beis Din is, first of all, the issue of the way that the Beis Din has to administer Shavuos. But secondly, if you consider the broader issues that we've been talking about, there were two broader issues. Because in Sanhedrin, remember, we brought up all of the questions, who has a chelik in Elam Haba, and the aspects of a chiev of Misa B'dei Shamayim. In Makkos, we dealt with the relationship also to an element of kapara, particularly the element of kapara of Golos, and you have to be roi to get that kapara. And then we spoke about the issue of Kores, which, of course, is Min HaShamayim, but its relationship to the Malkus that's given in terms of Bnei Adam. And here, we're ending up discussing another aspect of Kapora that we hadn't dealt with yet, which is the Kapora of various Karbonis on, in a general sense. And that is brought up now, only now. That's one special element of Shavuos, together with the other special element of Shavuos, which is that it's part of court procedure. And that aspect would have to do with Shavuot HaDayanim. Now, Shavuot HaDayanim is brought up, and Shavuot HaEdut is brought up later in the Masechet. And at the beginning, we don't really talk about Shavuos. So instead, the main focus of our attention is, strangely enough, the common denominator of the four things that are Shtayim Shein Arba. So again, what did they consist of? So they consisted of Shavuos, Yediyas HaTumah, where a person goes into the Beis HaMikdash or he eats Hegdash, forgetting either that he was Tameh or that this was the Mikdash, which are also Shtayim Shein Arba. And then we spoke about Yetzias HaShabbos, which is Shtayim Shein Arba. We'll review how these are Shtayim Shein Arba in a moment. And then we had the different Marot Negaim, which is very conveniently placed with what we just learned over Shabbos and listening to the laning from the Kriya of Kazria Mitzera. So we've heard that there were also two Marot Negaim that actually expand to four when we include the Toldos, the Sapachat. So today, the Gemara wants to speak out why the connection of Shavuos to Makkos makes sense. So asks the Gemara, Michta. The Tana has been talking about Makkos. We just completed Makkos, and for some reason, we're going to talk about Shavuos. So why are we talking about Shavuos? Now, that is not really the question. It's a little bit of a confusing question. And it's obvious why we would be discussing Shavuos, as I explained. The question of why we're discussing Shavuos, as the Rabban explains, is why are we discussing Shavuot Bitui? Because Shavuot Bitui is not part of what the Beis Din has to worry about. Shavuot Bitui is a personal Shavuot that a person takes upon himself. You know, I swear I'm going to eat something today, and he doesn't eat it. Or he swears to, I swear I didn't take your money. He swears on a personal level. Or I swear I didn't speak that nicely to your wife. Whatever it is. So we have a commitment type of Shavuah, which is la'atid. I commit myself not to do something, yes to do something. And we have a Shavuah l'sha'avar, which is I did do something and did not do something, which are really very, very different. They seem to have very little in common. The one is a question of commitments and the other one is a question of truth finding. Not really connected except in the way you say them. All right. Why in the world do we start our Masechet with Shavuos Bitui? That is the real question. So, Mishnah Etani Shavuos. Now that is the strangest thing, says the Gemara. The real reason is because we're focused on what we thought was just like a strange coincidence that the structure is Shtayim Shein Arba. Weird, boy. All right, so since the last thing we had in Makas was this case of Shtayim, that one thing that becomes two, it wasn't really Shtayim Shein Arba, we had the last thing we said that you're chayev al harosh shtayim, achat mikan v'achat mikan, if you shave off your peot, and you would be chayev al hazakan shtayim mikan v'shtayim mikan v'achatz v'lamata. So what does that mean? These are examples of one type of lav, one azara, that ends up being b'chayev you more than one, two, in the case of the pa'at harosh, right? So it's essentially one becomes two. So in that case, we also come here to talk about one that becomes two. So here we have Chodem Revel Atarte. So we have the same structure in Shavuos. So Tana Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba. And the only one of the type of Shavuos, which is Shtayim Shein Arba, is Shavuos Bitui. As we said, you make a Shavuah positive or negative. That's Beferish in the Pasuk. Lehara o Lahativ. So I'm going to do something bad for myself, something hurtful, maybe ultimately good, such as I won't eat ice cream today, but that's bad. So it deprives me. So if I say lahara, I won't eat ice cream, or lahativ, I will eat ice cream, that's what it says in the pasuk. We learn out from a drasha that the same thing is true b'sha'avar. I did eat ice cream, I did not eat ice cream. That's also, even though it's a completely different sense of Shavuah, because it has nothing to do with commitments, it has to do only with what I see as reality. Obviously, there's a hint there to a deeper connection between the L'sha'avar and the L'atid. But the point is that it's built around an expansion of an Iser Lav into something that we didn't know when we just read it until we did the Drasha and figured that it actually doubled itself. And therefore, that is the reason that we go from Makas to Shavuos. Now, obviously, that is not the reason that we go from Makas to Shavuos. Because, I mean, we could go from Makas to anything. I mean, we're going to go from Makas to Yitzias HaShabbos. We're going to go from Makas to Negayim. I mean, that isn't the point. The point is, if we're focusing, we're taking for granted that we understand why we need to have Masechet Shavuos. And as Tosis points out, any other structure that would have put, let's say, Yedias HaTumah first, wouldn't have belonged here at all. Forget about it's not being a meaningful transition from Makas to Shavuos. How would we have a Masechet that focuses on Karbonas in the middle of the Zikin? It would be insane. How would we have a Masechet that talks about, what, Yedias HaShabbos in the middle of the Zikin? Obviously, that's not a serious question. The only Masechet that belongs and is yet missing from Yeshuot, remember Yeshuot is the way that we refer to Seder Nezikin, V'haya Emunat Itecha Chosen Yeshuot, so that fourth Seder Nezikin is Yeshuot, as Tosfos refers to it here, is Shavuot. Of course, that's the Masechet that comes here. So therefore, our question only is, why in this particular way? And our next question is, if indeed the focus is on Shavuos, how in the world did we get caught up in the first two parakim and then this entire Mishnah discussing Yediyas HaTuma? What in the world? What is that doing over here? That's the things that concern the Gemara. It's taking for granted the underlying meaning of the way that these two Mesechas are interrelated. They go directly from understanding the nature of Azhoras in Makas to the nature of Azhoras that can be broadened into Shavuos. That is extremely important because that's exactly what we were dealing with in Makas, was understanding the Azhara for Mises Pesden and the Azhara for Kores and the Azhara for Malkus and the Azhara which would not cause Malkus, it would be a Lavshin B'mais. And so we had the entire end of the Masechet focused on that. It's an extremely natural development to continue on it, to think about Azhoras, which are not really fully Azhoras and are expanded to become Shtayim Shein Arba Azoras, just like at the end of Marcus, we were up to Achasu Shtayim Azoras. See how beautiful it is? Flows directly. That's the underlying structure. Now, the question is, okay, we're going to end up, however, I now understand why we'd want to talk about Shvu Shtayim. But why in the world are we talking about all these other things that are coming along with it from all over Shas? And I understand. So because of that, Tana Shvua Shtayim Shein Arba. But what happened to the rest of this Mishnah? How come we're listing here four different cases of Shtayim Shein Arba, and in other places where we also were talking about a Shtayim Shein Arba, let's see, we were talking about Shabbos, right? So when we talked about Yitziot HaShabbat, we opened up the Masechet indeed with the idea of Shtayim Shein Arba. I just want to mention, Rabbosai, sorry, I forgot for a moment. It's the yard site of an extremely special individual, Hillel Ben Meir, this is the yard site of Alon's father, an extremely unusual, creative, committed, and brilliant man. So today should be an Aliyah Lishmosai. So now the question is, when we talked about Yitzias HaShabbos, Shnayim Shein Arba, we didn't say, well, Yitzias HaShabbos, Shnayim Shein Arba, and Shvuah Shnayim Shein Arba, and Yitzias HaTumah Shvuah Shnayim Shein Arba, and Maros LeGoyim. Said, no, we said Yitzias HaShabbos. And when we had the Mishnah and the Goyim, Maros LeGoyim, Shnayim Shein Arba, we didn't go through every single case. Why here? Ah. Good question, says the Gemara. This is a very unique situation. Why? Because the two things that we discuss in our Mishnah are not only related through the Shtayim Shein Arba structure, which provides the transition from Makas to this Masechet, but they are also put together in the Torah. So as we learned last night, all of the Korban Eila V'Yoreid is introduced with these two sugyas, Shvuas Eides, Yediyas HaTuma, Shvuas Bitui, and they are put together in one place, and they are also one set. It's not just that they're put next to each other. They are in the set of those very unique things, the Rechayev HaKorban Oil of Yared. So therefore, since they are the natural transition because of the underlying structure of Shtayim Shein Arba, that is the reason that we moved from Makas to that structure. Once we already were talking about two of them, because they are related vastly more, which is obvious. It's nice to talk about just the structure of Shtayim Shein Arba. I mean, why would we bring that up in Shabbos? And why would we bring that up in Maros Negayim? But over here, the structure obviously is profound if they're put in the same parsha, one next to the other in the Torah, and they're given a special korban. My gosh. So then you think to yourself, there's obviously something very powerful about this set. And the fact that they are all Shtayim Shein Arbas, the one that are listed here, makes us consider how that is a general relationship. And therefore, I did it on a tarte. We're going to bring up these two. We talked about that special structure. And remember, the meaning of that special structure is uniquely suited to the transition of Makkos to Shavuos, because we're looking at the understanding of the Azaras HaTorah. So where else would we want to discuss the way that something written in the Torah expands from 1 to 2 and from 2 to 4? That would be specifically here. So it's brilliant. If you look at the overall hypertext relationship, my gosh, it's so mind-boggling how every last thing was taken into consideration. Okay, so now we have another question, which is a local question of structure. If the Mishnah opened up with Shvuot Shtayim Shein Arba, isn't that where we should start? Instead, we go through Shvuot Shtayim Shein Arba, and then we talk about all of the four cases of Shtayim Shein Arba, and then we start talking about Yediot HaTumah. Why did we, we don't even get back to talking about Shvuot Shtayim Shein Arba until the third parak. So we're going to have two prakim that are going to be discussing the inyanim of these kaparot. They shouldn't come first. By any means, they shouldn't come first, because the main structural issue was the way that we were talking about the elements that belong here in the Zikin, I would have thought. So why do we spend the whole opening on the Yediyas HaTumah part? Well, that's because, says the Gemara, that is indeed a very local structure issue, which is, whenever we have something that is essentially an interruption, in a way it's a non sequitur to the overall aspects of Nezikin, correct? It makes a lot of sense because we happen to be discussing this part of Nezikin, the aspects of Kapara as well. Okay, so Aidei Dezutrin Milayo, if it's somewhat of a non sequitur, and it does not require a great deal of time for us to deal with, it's always best to get the thing out of the way, if it isn't your main focus, get it out of the way so that you're able to then focus on what is your main focus. And that's called Aidei Dezutrin Milayo, Posik Shori Lohu. Posik Shori Lohu is the same word we said with Talmud Chacham comes in to the best and best. Let's be Posik for Shori Lohu. Let's talk about his case. Let him get out of here and get back to his Beis HaMedrash. That's what we do over here. And then we get to talk about the Dinim of Shavuos, which are very complex. And we've got six Prakim that we're going to dedicate to that. And if these first two short Prakim, we can take care of the whole idea of Yediyas HaTumah. Now, let's talk about what we mean by the words of the Mishnah. Shvuot Shtayim Shein Arba. What are the Shtayim Shein Arba? The two cases that are listed in the Torah is La'ara Oletiv. Classic example, Ochal, Lo Ochal. So I will eat a certain thing, I won't eat a certain thing in the future. What makes them four? That we're able to be Marbe, the past. I did eat. I didn't eat. I'm going to see how we learn that out later when we get to start discussing the dinim of the Shavuos. What are the Yediyas HaTumah? Shtayim Shein Arba. Well, the Shtayim are, I need to know that I'm Tamei, and I need to know that I can't go into the Migdash if I'm Tamei. So there's combinations over here would be like this. Tumas Kodesh would be Yediyas Tumas Kodesh, and then there would be Yediyas Tumah vis-a-vis Migdash. So the things that seem to be simple, I know that I'm Tomei and I shouldn't be eating this Dover Shal Kodesh. I know that I'm Tomei and I shouldn't be going into the Beis HaMigdash. But there are other things that are obviously included in this, because I may actually not know that this is Kodesh, or not know that this is Migdash. And I did remember the whole time that I was Tomei, but what difference does it make if I'm Tomei if I don't think that this is the Kodesh, or that this is the Beis HaMigdash? So what are the four cases? A person knew he was Tomei, and he knew this was the Beis HaMigdash. He forgets that, goes into the Beis HaMigdash, and then he remembers at the end. So that is basically the structure of the typical chatas, which here is an Eilav Yeri. But there's different ways that he may have made that mistake. He might have forgotten that he's Tamei and walked into Beis HaMikdash. Case one, he might have forgotten that he's Tamei and eaten something that's Kodesh. Case two, he might have remembered that he's Tamei, but forgotten that this was the Beis HaMikdash. case three, but he knew it once. He might have known that, they might know that he's tame, and he forgot that this is meat that's kodesh, case four. So in all of these cases, it's the yediya, what it is that he does know in context, that creates a different ha'alama. What is that v'nelam that it says in the pasuk? And it's a unique situation, because in no other carbon chatas do we have this particular need, that you have to first be aware of all of the elements that would have been mechayev of you, and you forgot some critical piece in the middle, and then remembered them only at the end. So those critical pieces end up being the critical piece of my own tumah, the critical piece of this being the Beis HaMikdash, the critical piece of this being Boser Kedesh, that is the halamais. But the yediyais are actually four separate yediyais. Okay, what about Yitziyot HaShabbat, Shtayim Shein Arba? Now you remember that in Shabbat itself, we ended up with the Shtayim Shein Arba becoming a heck of a lot more than that. They kept multiplying, right? Because we were talking about the Ani and the Balabayit, and mixed cases where the Ani takes it the hand out of the hand of the Balabayit, or the Balabayit takes out of the hand of the Ani. We ended up making this 8 cases, 16 cases, if you recall, for the beginning of Shabbos. Here, we're only talking about the basic four. What are those basic four? Shtayim. Well, the basic, starting with the two that it seems to be in the Torah, al yetze ish mimekomo, is hotza'a. So there would be two ways of doing hotza'a. There would be a hotza'a of an ani, and a hotza'a of the balabayit. So hotza'a means taking something out from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, which the classical case that we talk about is a person that's standing outside, so we call him the Oni, who's knocking on the door and asking for something to eat. So the Oni is provided a piece of bread, and he puts his hand in, takes the piece of bread out of the house, and walks away. That would be Hotza'ah from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, and it's done by someone whose body is in Rishus HaRabim. And then there would be the Hotza'ah of the Balabayit. The Balabayit may himself take out food. If he does that, he's taking it out from where his body is, Rishus HaYochid, into Rishus HaRabim. And how does that become four? The Hachnasah Ani, or the Hachnasah de Balabayit. So if the Ani, standing outside, puts something into the house, so he takes the plate and he puts it into the house from Rishus HaRabim, or the Balabayit takes it, the plate, that brings it back into the house, that is also chayev, but doesn't say in the Torah beferish, but we learned that out, that hachnasa is also a chayev, just like it. So it brings us to four. And the marot negayim shnayim shein arba'a, we just had yesterday in the kriya of the parsha, the two that are mentioned beferish, that the ish that has ba'or b'saro, se'et or sapachat or baheret, v'haya ba'or b'saro l'negat sara'at, so the Marot HaNegoyim is only the Se'et and the Baheret. The Sapachat is not the name of a Nega. A Sapachat means a secondary. So it refers to Toladot. Sfacheinina, where we find if a person asks to be part of a group. Sfacheinina, that's a Sapachat. Those are the four cases. All right. Now the problem is, it's difficult to find a Tana that would have conceded that these are all true. Because it turns out that the shitot that we're familiar with in these particular sugyas do not sustain a Mishnah that puts these four cases together. Because who's the Tanit? It's certainly not Rabbi Shmuel, and it's certainly not Rabbi Akiva. And they were both of them were the ones who had their special opinions about the two sugyas that we're dealing with over here. If you want to say, well, the Mishnah works out very well according to Rabbi Shmuel, it does not. Because as we're going to see later, Rabbi Shmuel's Shita is, you are not chayev unless it's talking about lahara o lahatif. But you are not chayev your korban oila v'yared if you said, I did eat in the past, or I did not eat in the past, so then you don't have shnayim shein arba, according to Rabbi Shmuel. If it's Rabbi Akiva who says, no, you are chayev shnayim shein arba, on all four cases, But then the other part of the Mishnah that talks about Shnayim Shein Arba Nidiyas Hatuma doesn't work, because Rabbi Akiva, his shita is, as we'll see, that you're only chayev korban oila v'yored on halim tuma. So if you forgot that you were tame, there's where you're chayev the korban oila v'yored. But if you went ahead and did the iser because you forgot that this place is part of the Beis HaMikdash, so then you would not be actually chayev. That's not included in the Korban Olah V'Yored, and therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's not Shnayim Shein Arba, because we were talking about either the Helem Tuma or the Helem Mikdash, or Helem Kodesh, but he doesn't believe in Helem Mikdash. Well, actually, the Mishnah could be either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva. You might say Rabbi Shmuel, you might say Rabbi Akiva. How would that work? Look, I mean, does it say anywhere over here that the four cases are all chayev? It says there's four cases. It's just that Rabbi Shmuel doesn't agree that these are four cases that will be mechayev you, the korban olah v'yored. Fine, but we could still say there are four cases. So he by tamer Rabbi Shmuel, and when the Mishnah says Shnayim Shein Arba, it meant there are four cases. Only two of them, of course, you're chayev on, the korban, and two of them you're poter on. Maybe that's what it means. And the same thing would have been true according to Rabbi Akiva. There are four cases, are there not? I mean, it's true you're only chayev on two of them, a korban olah v'yored, namely on the shikhas tuma in the event of eating, or it's shikhas tuma in the event of knisa l'mikdash. We don't have the other two, but so what? Those are possible shigagas, and they're listed as two cases which are four. What? That's not true. How can you say such a thing? Liftar. I mean, the whole point is that, as we mentioned at the beginning, we are attempting to understand the way the drushas in the Torah of these various Isurim can be expanded from what they are written, right? So, I mean, the case of expansion is that it expands into the same idea, that you have the same type of responsibility. Take a look at the case of Marot Negaim, right? Now, obviously, we have such a loose connection between these four cases of two to become four. So that means that that loose connection has got to be the fundamental underlying connection. If Marot Negaim, would it occur to you for a moment to say that Marot Negaim, some of them are Marot, but some of them are not Marot? I mean, the whole point is that Ma'atam Kulu L'chiyuvah, the idea over here is that they are exactly the same, and they will be mechayev you exactly in the same way if you go and are, more we'll talk about what were you over, but these are the things that require the same types of karbonas in order to become tar from them, or if you end up cutting off the Maratz Hanega, it would be the same chiyav lav for doing that, as we're going to talk about later. So the Mishnah cannot be talking about cases, theoretical cases. The whole point over here is that it's not theoretical, that it's actually chiyav. So forget about that. Okay, forget about that. But there's still another possibility. What makes you think that we're so sure that we're talking about the chiyav of a korban? Maybe we're talking about the chiyav of malchus. I mean, look, Rabbi Shmuel only said that you're not chayav a korban oil of a yored on a shvuas bitui l'sha'avar. That's all he said. He never said you're not chayv malchus. So maybe that's what it's talking about in the Mishnah. If the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yishmael, it could be referring to malchus. Now, Rabosai, this is obviously off the wall. And it's clear that it's off the wall. And as we've pointed out, and Rashi speaks out very clearly in Yuma, the Gemara does not shirk from talking about off-the-wall possibilities, because it was an incredible Rashi. The Tana is teaching you the machine language of your thinking. So you're right. The way your brain usually works is it doesn't go step by step consciously. But what's happening in your brain when you reach that conclusion? That's what the Gemara wants to teach you. So your first inclination, which you may not even spend more than a split second on, and therefore you didn't even realize that you thought of it, would be to say X. then it's obvious that X is wrong because of various things, which, again, you go through in the process that we call common sense, but which, until today, no one has been able to program a computer to have that common sense. And that's why it's so important, says Rashi, to be able to focus on the steps that lead to common sense. Of course, this is insane. You can't possibly read a Mishnah that's talking about which karbonos are mechaper on what in the whole structure of the Yedias HaTumah and so on and so forth. You can't be talking about Makas. And you can't be talking about Makas because, what the heck, that gets us into the whole question of Lav She'in Bo Mais, Lav She'yesh Bo Mais. I mean, that gets us into Hasra Sofik if you're talking about I will eat and how can you be Chai Malkas. And oh my God. I mean, in the end, it's crazy to suggest this because it says Beferish in the Mishnah for all intents and purposes that it's talking about carbonate. So I don't know how you can entertain this. But okay, let's pretend for a moment that it really would be possible to entertain the notion that the Mishnah was not talking about carbonas, it was talking about the Chiyuv of Malkus, okay? Which, of course, would undermine our central contention that the reason that we're discussing all of these cases here is because they were brought together for carbon oil of Yared. Okay, now we're going to start talking about their connection for Malkus. All right, fine. So let's say so. That's for bringing a carbon, but there's still a chiyuv of Malkus. And okay, now I understand that you're not too happy. The first response would be, wait a minute, I mean, how could it actually be talking about Malkus if it's a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa? Where would be the Malkus? Oh, no, you forgot Rava. And we're going to see Rava later on. Rava says that the Torah, by an extra word, has been Marbe Chiyuv of Malkus on a Shvuas Bitui L'Sha'avar because of the fact that it says in the Luches HaBris, it says Shvua, the Lashon of Shav, twice in the Pasuk. And over there, it says, Ki lo yinake Hashem, Hashem lo yinake, somebody who famously takes his name in vain, right? He won't be Menake, but the Beis Din can be Menake. Since it says the Shav twice, we're going to learn all this out later. I'm just making a brief reference to it, because the Gemara does. The shav twice would be any shvua that is similar to shav. What is similar to shav? You make a shvua about something that is obviously not so. Now, once upon a time, if you claimed that this man was a woman, it would be not so. That's the classic case that Rashi brings, right? That's not true anymore, so you can see that indeed a man is a woman or a woman is a man, at least until Trump. But in any event, it used to be that that was a shvuah shav. So that means something that, as you say it, is wrong as you say it. So that could only be including a shvuah l'sha'avar. I swear I didn't eat that cookie. And it was shav in that sense when you said it, because it was wrong at the moment that you uttered it, right? Okay, so therefore, if the Torah says lo yinakeh Hashem, which means that the Beis Din can be menakeh, and it adds a shvuas bitui l'sha'avar, so you'll have to say that despite the fact that there's only a dibur and there's no maisa, nonetheless, Rava said, ma shav l'sha'avar, af sheker nami l'sha'avar. So we get four cases of malkas, even though it's a lav she'en bo maisa. So that works. No, it doesn't. Because, yes, it works in most cases. Okay. Achalti velo achalti. Yes, Rava said that that is considered to be a lav she'en bo maisa, but especially included in l'shav. And the other case, I will not eat, and I did eat. Fine, that's a case la'atid. That's a lav she'esh bo maisa, even though it's not included in the shav business, because it's talking about the future. But how do you explain the fact that it includes shnayim she'en arba, and one of the arba cases is I will eat, and then he doesn't eat. If he doesn't eat, that's passive. And therefore, it's a lav she'en bo ma'aseh. Rava only was marred by this particular case. How do you explain that? So you still don't have shnayim she'en arba. Well, let me take it another step. It wasn't Rava. It's like Rabbi Shmuel's talking about Malkus, And Rabbi Yishmael holds all over the Torah, lav she'en bo maisa, looking alone. She doesn't have a problem. So that means now we don't need to say it's going aliba de rava. So if that's the case, the Mishnah works out well. Because Rabbi Yishmael, lav she'en bo maisa, looking alone. Okay, that leads us into some other problems, does it? Yeah, it does. Because remember that Rabbi Yochanan learns that halacha kestam Mishnah. And this brings us straight back to Makkos. Halacha kestam Mishnah. So then that would mean that Rabbi Yochanan is obliged to paskin like this Mishnah, which says that lav she'en bo maisa lokin alav. Because after all, it's talking about Malkus, and it says shnayim she'en arba, which includes ochal, and he doesn't eat, right? Clear? That means Rabbi Yochanan paskins like this Mishnah. Problem is, we just had back in Makkos that Rabbi Yochanan holds it specifically not like this Mishnah. Because itmar shvuah she'ochal kikar zo hayom. I swear I'm going to eat this sometime today. And the day passes by, and he didn't eat it. Remember this case. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both agree that there is no chiyuv of Malkus in this case. We just had this back in Makkos. But for totally different reasons. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't get Malkus because it's a lav she'en bo maisa. Oh my God. But that's the opposite of this Mishnah. And Rabbi Yochanan is obliged to paskin like this Mishnah because it's a stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yishmael who says that you're lurking on a lav she'en bo maisa. V'chol lav she'en bo maisa ain't lurking on a lav according to Rabbi Yochanan, which is a complete contrast to what he says here. Reish Lakish says there's another reason why you're not local. It's not because it's a lav she'en bo maisa. It's because it's atra'at safek. How can you give him atra'a? You better eat that because if you don't eat it, you're going to get malkus. I'm going to eat it. Calm down, man. What the heck's wrong with you? You better eat that now. It's so late. It's too late. Can't eat it anymore. Sorry. So, okay. So when would you be able to give him that atra'a? So how come he doesn't stick to his normal psakdin like a stam Mishnah? Well, that, you see how incredible every last piece. I mean, there's like so many different aspects you have to take into consideration on every level in which this saying that simple thing, Shnayim Shein Arba, would then interact with Kol HaTorah Kula. Forget about just the local things, right? Well, so maybe Rabbi Yochanan Paskin, that you're not looking on a lav she'en bo maisa because of another Stam Mishnah. And he found another Stam Mishnah, and therefore he chose that Stam Mishnah instead of our Stam Mishnah. Oh, did he? Where? Go ahead. Show me a Stam Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan thought was better. I know what you're thinking, but it's not true. You're thinking about the Mishnah, and indeed, the Mishnah that we had in Makkos, of course. So that was the Stam Mishnah that says, someone who is motir, he leaves over the basar of his carbon pesach that was roi lachila, even if it was tahar. And if he breaks a bone in a carbon pesach, which is tamei and not roi lachila, in both of these cases, you'd think he would get malchus, but he doesn't. So I understand why he doesn't get malchus if he breaks a bone in a carbon pesach that he couldn't eat anyway, because it says etzem lo tishburu bo. And bo means the Pesach that we're talking about, the one that you're going to eat. Why, well, I can't eat this one. It's potzel. Because it's tamei, so it had to be kosher of a potzel. I don't understand. But why, if someone leaves over the basar of a carbon Pesach that was tar, and he was supposed to eat, he was over on lo totiru mimenu? Why does the Mishnah Makkos say that you're potter? It must be because it's a lav she'en bo maisa. Says Rabbi Yochanan. So you see, the din is that you're not looking at lav she'en bo maisa. That allows him to paskin against our Mishnah. No. How do you know that the reason for the Mishnah in Makkos that you don't get Malkus for Nosa is because it's a lav she'en bo maisa? Maybe it's going according to the way we understood it there, that it's aliba de Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov, what? I'm sorry, what you thought it was going aliba de Rabbi Yaakov, and it's because it's Ein Bo Maisa, maybe it's not Rabbi Yaakov, and maybe it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. And remember that famous drasha that we said, Lo totiru mimenu ad boker, v'hanotar mimenu ad boker, beish tisrofu, Bo hakatuv litein asei achalotase, in order to make it a lava nitakla asei, and to tell me that you're not going to get malchus on it. In which case, it has absolutely nothing to do with our discussion about whether lav shein b'maisa lo kin olav. Maybe, indeed, that Mishnah also holds lav shein b'maisa lo kin olav, and the reason in this case it's not lo kin olav is only because it's a lava nitakla asei. But if it wouldn't have been a bat, a lava, if it wouldn't be a lava nita klase, you would have gotten malchus, even if it was a lava shem b'maisa. And we know, we learned the details of that whole discussion. The Tanya. Lo tatir mimenu ad boker, ano tar mimenu ad boker, be'esh tisrofu, ba hakatuv liten ase achar lo tase, lo mar she'en lo kino lav divrei Rebbe Yehuda. So according to Rebbe Yehuda, if that's the meaning of the Mishnah there, so then the only reason that you don't get malchus is because it's a lava nitiklas. Say, if not for that, you would have gotten malchus. Whereas it's Rebbe Yaakov, it says, no, that's not the reason you don't get malchus. There's a more basic reason for not getting malchus. You don't get malchus on any lav shein bo maaseh. And leaving something over is a completely passive, non-act, and therefore lav shein bo maaseh ain lo kino lav. So it doesn't say anything in this Mishnah that you can point a finger to and to say that this Stam Mishnah is certainly saying that a lav she'en bo maaseh ein lo kin olav. Sorry. All right. There's another Mishnah. Here's the Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan saw that says that lav she'en bo maaseh ein lo kin olav, and he passed like this Stam Mishnah. Because the Mishnah here, later on in Shavuos, it says, Shvua shelo chal kikar zo. I swear I'm not going to eat it. And he doubles that. He says, and I swear again, I'm not going to eat it. Shelo chlena. And in the end, he does eat it. Eno chayev ela achat. He's chayev only one korban. So there's a difference between shvua shelo chal kikar zo and shvua shelo chlena is different, because one is talking about I won't eat, meaning from this bread. The other is I won't eat it. I won't eat the entire bread. And the halacha over here is that he's only going to be chayev one shvua, because any little bit of it was already also to him, and ain't shvua chala shvua. And okay, that's all in there, and we don't need to worry about it here. But the next words are what Rabbi Yochanan focused on. Zohi shvuas bitur shechayov and azdona makas. V'al shigigata karban olav yoreid. This and only this is the example of a type of shvuas bitui which you would be chayav malkas if you did purposefully, and you would be chayav a karban olav yoreid if you do it bashgaga. What does that mean? Zohi the chayav and azdona makas. But ochal, v'lo achal, I will eat it, but I didn't eat it. He doesn't eat it. He would not get malchus. Why not? Because it's a lav she'en bo maaseh. Aha. So if that's the case, Rabbi Yochanan says, see, I just found the Mishnah, these words, Zohi shvuas bitui. I just found the Stam Mishnah that you don't get malchus for being over on a type of iser which you didn't do anything. And since you said, I will eat it, and you didn't eat it, so then you didn't make any mice, you didn't do any action. Therefore, I chose this Stam Mishnah over the Stam Mishnah that we have over here, assuming, you understand all the steps that brought us here, assuming that this Mishnah is going Aliba to Rabbi Shmuel, and that's the only way we have Shnayim Shein Arba, and it's talking about Malkus, and you'll get Malkus on all four cases because we brought a Raya from the Maros Negoyim, and if you get a Malkus in all four cases, you'd be getting Malkus on the Lav Shein B'mais of exactly this case of Ochal V'lo Ochal, and therefore this Mishnah later on is paskening the opposite of this Mishnah here that we just had. And now I will paskin like that one. Whew! Anyway, all of that would be necessary to say to protect Rabbi Yochanan from running into a problem if we're really going to insist that our Mishnah is going Aliba de Rabbi Shmuel. Have you kept track of all of these cases? Great. So, okay. What makes Rabbi Yochanan choose one Stam Mishnah over another Stam Mishnah? So, I mean, Michte, Heistama. What makes Rabbi Yochanan decide, I'm going to look at that later Stam Mishnah. Why not choose our lovely Mishnah, which opened up the Masechet, and it seems to be predicated on Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that you can, in fact, get Malkus for a lav she'en bo ma'isa. Later on, we're going to see, by the way, why didn't we attempt to say the Mishnah is going a libe de Rabbi Akiva? Why do we only attempt to say it's going like Rabbi Shmuel? Because there are ways to make it work out like Rabbi Akiva, too. We'll get to that. But right now, we're like sort of compartmentalizing the different possibilities. So why did Rabbi Yochanan choose this one? Says the Gemara, why are you focusing on Rabbi Yochanan? Why don't you focus on the one who wrote the Mishnah, you know? That's Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So what, is he crazy? In one Mishnah he says one thing, in the other Mishnah he says another thing. Why don't you ask on him? Rabbi Gufay? What? Rebbe just like throws out randomly contradictory Mishnayos that are stomachs, which means that this is the way he holds. So obviously, what happened is that Rebbe himself changed his mind in the middle. He opened up the Masechet Mikra. He held that Lav Shein B'Maisa Lokin Alav, and then he made the Stam Mishnah. Alibet Rabbi Shmuel, the Lav Shein B'Maisa Lokin Alav. Stoma, he made that a Stam Mishnah. Then he changed his mind. V'Odasav Ein Lokin Alav, and he made that second Stam Mishnah later on. So why didn't he take out the original Mishnah and restructure it? Because we have a general rule. The general rule is Mishnah lo zaza mimikoma. We never restructure a Mishnah that tens of thousands of people have committed to memory. So this is part of the structure of the way that they see Kol HaTorah Kula. What are you going to do now? All of a sudden, now 20 years later, you're going to tell them, well, you have to change what you remembered? Get out of here. You'll have nothing but confusion. So it's better to insert the contradiction and then let people work out the difference between if there's an answer to the contradiction or recognizing the development of the halacha, like in this case. So if that's the only way to understand Rebbe, so obviously Rabbi Yochanan is not going to go according to the original assumption of Rebbe. He's going to go according to the final way that Rebbe understood it. So the moment you understand Rebbe, you understand Rabbi Yochanan. So you can't ask him, why did he choose that stammer? It's obvious why he chose that stammer. Okay, so now we have, ostensibly, which we're going to shatter into tiny pieces as soon as we start tomorrow, that we can work out this Mishnah to be a Stam Mishnah, a Libet Rabbi Shmuel, without causing too many impossible contradictions, just changes of mind. And that way it'll fit in with Rabbi Yochanan all over Shas, with Rabbi Shmuel all over Shas. We don't need particularly to go according to Rava anymore, and everything's hunky-dory, except for the minor issues, which make you look like an idiot for even thinking about this, but everything seems fine. If you can last overnight with it seeming fine, then we can continue Daf Dalet tomorrow.